Good evening, everybody. This is Richard Mortimer and Trevor Dumbleton with Be in Profit by Christmas. Now, those of you who have seen the email that's just gone out, well, to my list anyway, will notice that Trevor and I had a little bit of a competition. We both put an outline for this call together, and I have to say and announce that Trevor won, because his was much more exciting than mine. So,
thanks for that.
Yeah, a pleasure. So Trevor is going to give us an overview. We've got about an hour, how to be in profit before Christmas. Now, of course, that's something that a lot of people want, and a lot of people have been trying to do, and a lot of people have failed to do. So, Trevor, please, what is it you have for us tonight?
Right. Well, the first challenge with money before Christmas is that Christmas is only, well, less than 3 months away now at the time of recording, and that actually rules out quite a lot of things.
Yeah.
It rules out putting your book up on Kindle,
okay,
because although it will start selling now, you won't actually get any royalties this side of Christmas.
Okay.
And it pretty much, with the speed Google are taking on indexing pages, rules out doing much on your own website unless you've got lots of traffic already. Because, again, Google seem to take forever and a day to index pages. Sometimes they can do them really fast, but most of the time they prefer not to.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to suggest is that we basically piggyback on sites that have already got traffic. It's been suggested before, and it works, because sites like the Warrior Forum don't need to take time to get indexed, because there's so much going on that kind of site. And any other site that adds content by the minute, Google realizes that, and it's almost like catnip to Google. So it goes around and indexes it fast. And also there's lots and lots of visitors on YouTube. There's visitors all the time. Warrior Forum, how many thousands are on it, and lots of other sites. So what I'm going to suggest is we capitalize on those kind of places.
Okay, sounds good.
And also going to split it into stuff that's basically free apart from your time, and stuff that costs a bit of money, but not thousands and thousands.
Okay.
So starting with free, except for your time, is things like forums, literally the Warrior Forum or any other forum that's busy in your niche. And if you're not sure, do a search on Google for whatever your niche is, followed by forum. And have a look. The front page of most forums says how many people are on them, and when the most recent posts were. If there's lots of people on them, doesn't matter whether they're contributing or not, members or not, or whatever, just lots of people. And if the most recent posts are within the last hour, that's a good sign. You'll also get told quantity of posts. Again, that's a good sign, because if there's only 10 on a forum or whatever, then chances are it's only the forum owner talking to themselves. And if you're in internet marketing, obviously the Warrior Forum is probably the biggest. There's a few others, Digital Point and one or two others like that. But choose one, because you can become a relatively big fish in a small pond rather than spread yourself thinly. And then go in and contribute. What I suggest with Warrior Forum, because it is so busy, is you probably set aside 5 minutes, an hour, almost on your coffee break, to go in and just look and see what you can contribute to. There's posts on almost every subject. There's lots and lots of different sub-forums. So choose one you get on with, and choose one where you know a little bit more than the person who's just literally come into that subject for the first time. Then you can contribute, and ideally contribute early in the thread. That's not essential, because, again, with Warrior Forum posts, they tend to go in sort of lots and lots of responses quite fast. But the earlier you are in the thread, the more people will see your post, and you can do a signature on it. And that's
okay,
where the sales start coming.
I see.
There's certain regulars on there that are virtually known for doing certain topics, and you get comments like, oh, Alexa will be along in a minute, because she always seems to be on certain things like article marketing and whatever. And if you can become that kind of person, that's absolutely fantastic. That'll take probably quite a few posts, but certainly even if you get 50, 100 posts in a forum on a regular basis being useful and helpful rather than negative or spammy. So the trick is to not actually go physically for the sales. You go to be helpful first, and then people think, well, actually, I wouldn't mind spending money with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And Warrior Forum and quite a lot of other forums will do signature links. Again, check that before you go in. One of the favorite ones on internet marketers is dogs, and they've been spammed so much, most of the dog forums don't allow signature links. But marketing forums like the Warrior Forum do, and don't be a sort of drive-by forum poster. Don't just go in once and then leave it forever. That doesn't work. You have to build up trust. And the main way of building up trust is literally by your responses. So you pick an area that you think you can sell stuff in or help people with or whatever. You can't put, with the Warrior Forum and one or two other ones, you can't put affiliate links in. It has to go to your website. So your signature has to go to your website. So you're looking at $10 for a website and whatever it is, $10 a month maybe for hosting. And then what you can do from that is add people to your autoresponder list or just give them more and more information, and eventually they'll think, this person knows enough that actually I'd like to pay them to find out even more, because what you tend to think is, what are they not telling me? When I was taught sales letters years and years ago, they actually said give you the best information for free in the sales letter, because people will automatically assume that there's even better information once you buy the product. And that's quite a fun... That's exactly the same with forum marketing.
Okay, okay.
The next cheap way is YouTube. You can actually go onto YouTube and create a video. You don't even need to buy any software.
Really?
Yeah. They don't push it, but there's a couple of different options when you log into YouTube next to the upload a video thing that you can create a slideshow using YouTube.
Really? And speak?
I can't remember. I've not actually used it in anger on that side of things, because
okay.
I tend to record them locally and upload. But log into YouTube, choose upload. I've just opened it on screen, so I'm going to quick look. It'll capture your webcam. So if you've got a webcam, it'll do that. You just hit the record button.
Yeah.
You can create a slideshow, and Google Hangouts it will cope with. So any of those, you don't even need any kind of screen capture software or anything like that. You can just literally just go in and do it.
That's exciting.
It is, because YouTube, it's reckoned to be the second biggest search engine in the market after Google. A lot of people will just go to YouTube first, because same way that TV is more popular than books or radio, videos are more popular than most other things.
Exactly.
With YouTube... title of the video is paramount, in exactly the same way as a page title is, because that's the first thing people will see in the results. So if you get your title right, that gives you an edge over everyone else. What we got going on there?
Yes, all right, just going to mute that person out. Sorry about that.
I guess you were. That's okay.
On my little panel here.
Yep. So the title needs to be the thing that grabs. A lot of people say to make your video name the same as your keywords. I think that's mainly because it just brings it up as the title and saves you a lot of typing. I've not personally seen anything to say that anyone, even anything, either in YouTube or Google, looks at the file name. I suspect the answer is no. But that's, you can test. But basically, with YouTube, you're looking at a video length, anything from a minute to 10 minutes. There are courses out there that will say 1 to 2 minutes. There are ones that will say 3 to 4 minutes. And the answer is as long as is necessary. I've seen videos up there that are half an hour. And if that's what it takes you to explain without boring people, you go for half an hour.
If you, right, okay.
You can do that all in one take. That'll work. And all that will happen is if you look at your stats, you'll find that a lot of people will drop out in the first minute or so.
Yeah.
And after that, on a half-hour video, I've not done any that long recently, but my guess is that the stats, once they get beyond the first 5 minutes, they're probably going to watch the rest. And I think it'll also say that if you prepared to watch a half-hour video, you're probably quite committed.
Yeah.
So if your market lends itself to that, do that. And the ones I've been doing recently, anything between 3 and 10 minutes long. I don't time them. I just talk and record as long as necessary and press stop when I've finished.
So it's like people being sort of pre-qualified by watching the video?
Yeah, very much so. The other thing you can do, of course, and it mixes back in with the forum thing, is you can say, well, funny you should ask that. I've just done a YouTube video on that. Here's the link.
Oh, yeah.
Not used very much in forum responses, but there's no reason why it shouldn't be. There's people that put videos in their forum responses. And if you're the person that does that, that has a couple of advantages. One is you've taken the time, and therefore you're automatically the expert. Because obviously video creation is so difficult, lots of people think wrongly. But you're automatically the expert, and you've been helpful. And also with YouTube, it takes note of where the video's played. So you've actually got a slight advantage within YouTube if people are clicking through and watching the video elsewhere other than on YouTube. It gives it an extra advantage because obviously if it's spread out elsewhere on the web, it must be more... YouTube's algorithm thinks it's more important. So it pushes it. It gives it a little boost in the search results within YouTube, which is quite an easy trick.
Yeah.
And the place that's free, and it's been around since dinosaurs ruled the internet, really, is article marketing. It's not as good as it used to be. Used to be the days when I'd get sort of a brand new article, and Easy and Articles might send me 20, 30, 40 visitors in the first day. Nowadays, if it sends 4, I'm having a party. But it doesn't matter, because 1 or 2 visitors, again, they've taken the time to read your article. And if you look at your stats, you'll find that maybe 1 in 8, 1 in 10, 1 in 12, whatever it is, get to the end of the article and click through to the actual, to your page. So again, it's pre-qualification. But what the other thing with articles, if they're good, by which I mean they're written by you or an author you trust, rather than someone who's just churned out some load of rubbish from... It's almost as though it's been translated through Chinese, Russian, and a couple of other weird languages before it gets back to English. And those are well worth avoiding. So article spinners, I would say, don't use. Take the time to write your own articles. Put them up on Easy and Articles. And the better ones will get syndicated elsewhere. Other webmasters will say, actually, that's worth replicating. That's worth putting on my site. Easy and Articles encourages it. And you'll get the occasional link back from those. But most of the traffic with Easy and Articles will come through their site. Some people recommend that you put an article on the same article on Easy and Articles as on your site. I personally prefer not to.
No.
Mainly because Easy and Articles is usually stronger than your own website, and it will just get listed first anyway. Doesn't mean to say I won't do a similar topic. I'll usually leave a day or two's gap so I come at it fresh again. And I'll maybe put an article on my site first, and then a day or two later put an article on Easy and Articles pointing back to maybe a video I've done and the original article on my site. And you can do that, put a sign-up box for your autoresponder on, and put links in the blog post to get sales. Those could be Amazon links. As I said earlier, Kindle doesn't particularly work because you're waiting for royalties, but Amazon, the regular Amazon Associates links from memory pay out about a month later, so you would just about get money before Christmas. So Amazon's an easy way of getting relatively low money, but quite easy money because people trust Amazon. If you put an Amazon link in, people aren't going to say, I've never heard of that site. Unless they don't live in the Western Hemisphere. They're just going to say, oh, okay, it's Amazon. Yeah, I've used it before. It's a good link. I can check through the results. And it also means that you don't necessarily have to link to the product they eventually buy. As long as they buy something within, I think it's 24 hours, you get a commission on it.
Okay.
With Amazon, it's a sliding scale of commissions. So the more you sell in any given month, you start from zero each month, but the more you sell each month, the commissions go up. A lot of people, again, suggest that you sell high ticket items with Amazon because of the high commission. That's fine, but you need the quantity of sales as well. And the way to get that is to link to 99 cent stuff.
Okay.
Because a lot of people will buy a 99 cent ebook or download track or something like that and sell half a dozen of those, I think it is, and you get up into the next commission band. So suddenly you've gone from the base level of whatever it is this month, 4 or 5%, something like that, you move up to 6 or whatever it happens to be at the time. Amazon keep changing that. I haven't memorized the figures. So you can link off to Amazon. You can't do it from using articles, but they will let you link off to YouTube videos. They're quite happy about that.
Okay.
They will let you link off to squeeze pages, as long as they're on your site. They're happy about that. They won't let you link off to sites you don't own, so you can't do it direct to, say, a ClickBank product or an Amazon page.
No.
But they will, if you've got a squeeze page you've designed on your own site and you're hosting it there, they're quite happy for it literally to be a sign up to your email list. Which, again, a lot of people don't seem to know. But email lists are an easy way of building up. As you know, and I know we've both got lists, and most people in internet marketing have got lists of some sort. So you can put the end of your Easy Articles article, or it's the end of your YouTube video. Less so on a forum, it will depend on their rules, but certainly YouTube and Easy Articles, you can put a link up to your squeeze page.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? You'll get subscribers as long as you offer them something. So that's the quick bit about free methods.
Yeah.
Does that all make sense to you, Richard?
It certainly does, yeah. It certainly does.
Okay.
Basically, it's getting some traction going, isn't it?
Yeah.
And getting yourself noticed.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And offering something to people.
It can be as simple as advice. Because free advice without any expectation is good.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll usually ask a friend, where should I go for coffee, where should I go for this or that? So if you can be like that, if you can be like a trusted friend, the closer you can get to that, you'll actually find your make friends. I've had loads. It's my birthday today, as you know, and it's so obviously what you do is appear on a call. But I've had loads of messages through people I've met on the internet via Skype saying happy birthday. More on that than I've had on Facebook. So you end up meeting people and you end up knowing them. If you've got a bit of a budget, then that's the next section that I was going to cover.
Okay, good.
So those ones are free, and those probably should be support items to anything you do anyway, because the more links you get in, the more Google pays attention to things, and you never quite know ahead of time where you're going to get traffic from or where you're going to get customers from. You'd love to, and there's people trying to claim that you do, but in practice, unless you spend all your time analysing, then I've never found anyone that does. Chargeable methods, one that I know you use regularly, are solo ads. So I'm going to put you on the spot and say, would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
You know more about solo ads than I do.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's been my major traffic source, really, although I'm going over to video marketing. I'm playing around with that. But, yeah, it's been quite a big traffic source and been quite successful, actually, in the face of a trend away from solo ads. Basically, a solo ad, just for people who wonder what I'm talking about, is a... Well, you pay another marketer in your niche who has a list of subscribers, and you pay him for him to email you, or her, obviously, and you pay for a certain number of clicks. So, in other words, they send an email to their subscribers using their autoresponder, such as AWeber, and there'll be the usual subject line in the body of the email. So, it's not the opens, it's not people reading the emails, it's the people who actually click on the link that you pay for. So, for example, you can buy 100 click solo ad. So the marketer will send you 100 clicks. You can buy 1,000 clicks solo ad, and the marketer will send you 1,000 clicks. Usually, as you buy more, the price comes down per click, which is the benefit. So obviously, what you tend to do would be to try a low number with a new solo ad provider, and then when you find someone that's successful, you ramp it up, and that's how you can make it successful. The important thing is to know your numbers. So in other words, to know what return you're going to get per subscriber. And what I found was, I found one person that was marginal, I found one person that I made a really good profit on the front end, which is quite unique actually. I mean, you can usually make a profit on the back end. So in other words, when somebody comes onto your list, they're going to be marketed and you'll have a series of emails, and there'll be some of those will be promotions, and then some of them will buy, and you can obviously make money there, and you can pay for the solo ad. So if you're, for example, because the normal thing to do is to promote a free offer, and this is a standard like internet marketing practice, you offer something for free, and then you might have an upsell when the person's got their free offer, and then obviously you've got emails going out with some of them with promotions, and then they'll be monetized, so you make money that way, and that way you pay for the solo ad. But in this particular case, I was sending them to a paid offer, and like I say, one marketer I managed to get to sort of break even, it was okay, you know, probably I'd use them again. Another one was very, very good, and that was actually paying me on the front end, never mind anything that I got subsequently. So that was very, very good. But the thing to do is to look for your own providers. So, you know, build up relationships with people, and then ask them, you know, if you bought something from somebody, you know, get in touch with the marketer and then see if you can get a mailing from them. You know, obviously you're paying, so it's just something they might want to do. You know, it's quite a good bit of money. What you don't want to do really is to go so much for people who sell solo ads regularly, because there's quite a big market now. There's quite a big segment of the internet marketing niche where you've got solo ad providers who do this for a living. I mean, whether it's their sole source of income, I don't know, but it might be. And obviously that tends to ring an alarm bell, because what's going to happen there is you're going to be getting people who are freebie seekers probably. So you get a lot of, you know, they'll get a lot of clicks, but you won't get much out of it. It won't be very good subscribers, for example. You'll be on so many people's lists that you're just another number, another name. But you really want to search out people, you know, that you can have a relationship with. I mean, for example, Trevor and me on the call tonight, if we did a solo ad, we know each other, you see, so we can say something that's more personal. In fact, the first offer of mine, you promoted, Trevor, you did that, didn't you? We'd met up, actually, physically, and you actually referred to that, and that seems to be one of the most successful promotions you've done for me, which, interestingly.
Yeah, I've done that, and with other ones I've said, well, I've actually read the product, which I normally, if I'm going to promote anything, I normally will check the product first rather than just look at the dollar amount.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I hope that sort of covers it for you.
Yeah, and I've used solo ads a couple of times and never really got to grips with them much, but I know you use them, so I thought, yeah, I'll put you on the spot and find that out.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Glad to.
The next one I've used a couple of times, and I keep meaning to go back to, a Facebook ads.
Oh, yeah.
Most people home in on Google AdWords, but they're getting stupidly expensive for almost any click. Facebook ads are the ones that are on the screen whenever you log into Facebook. They're getting more and more and more of them. They come in two different forms, and Facebook are the same as Google. If you ever sign up for Google AdWords, the first thing they'll do, they'll assume that you want to go on not just Google, but also what they call their content network, which means any site that they've approved to carry AdWords. Facebook do a similar kind of trick. The first time you set up an advert, they'll assume that you want to pay for every 1,000 impressions, which gets expensive fast, as I found out. I was thinking, I've not had any clicks. So the default is worth switching off. What you need to do with Facebook is pay-per-click, because the response on Facebook ads isn't good. You're not going to Facebook to click an advert. On Google, there's a good chance that the adverts are going to be related to what you search for. On Facebook, there's a good chance they're not related to what you search for at all, because you're looking to chat with friends or catch up on friends or just spy on them, whatever else you do on Facebook. So it's a different market, and it's definitely worth paying per click. The plus is that you can target almost with a rifle, because you can go in and you can say, well, my product only appeals to men between 30 and 50 years old who are living in Gloucestershire, for instance. And you can target down to that. You can target by income level, education level, and interests. Got some crackle going on there.
I'll just have a look at that. Sorry, I'm
it's all right.
Not on the ball here. Okay, yeah, I can see.
So you can target by people's interests. So if you were, I don't know, say, marketing something to do with Beyonce, you could select people who were in the target demographic who were interested in Beyonce.
Okay.
And then
yeah.
Their efforts would only appear to those sort of stuff people can only dream of. They haven't got any information on yet. They'd like to with Google Plus, but not enough people are using it to generally give them a handle on it.
Okay.
Facebook have got all that information, so you can target really, really precise. Then the picture on Facebook seems to probably be more, almost as important, possibly more important than the actual headline, because the picture's the prominent thing in the adverts. Just look and glance through them whenever you go through on Facebook again. You'll see different adverts appear. I'm looking at the moment. There's something like six different ones. Three of the photos have got a red border because that stands out.
Okay.
One of them looks as though it's a screenshot with some writing on it. It's just refreshed, so it's decided to do other things. And there's headlines as well. But the first thing you'll spot is the photo. So the photo is probably the most important bit. And what people do with Facebook is they'll link it to a Facebook page. So effectively what you're doing is buying likes. You can then obviously keep your Facebook page up to date, and you can do a Facebook page on near enough anything. If you buy enough likes, then what happens is that your page will appear in other people's feeds, or whatever Facebook call them, and then it starts self-generating, and you actually end up not having to pay as much, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Whereas with Google, you've got to pay every single time. What happens with Facebook is if you get enough likes, then you're on enough people's pages, and they've liked it, and other people investigate, and then they'll come up and think, oh, okay. And you'll get people join. The one I tried a while ago, haven't spent much time on, need to go back and do a bit on. But I'm getting sign-ups or likes definitely every week and sometimes every day. And I've discontinued the advert a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So well worth investigating, and there are people making an awful lot of money out of Facebook because they're finding out how it works. You need to investigate. It's not totally my scene, but I know there are lots of people doing it, and I know what little I've done with it. If I spent probably another week or so with a couple of hours a day learning a bit more about it, you could make it pay nicely.
Yeah.
So if you've got the budget and the time and the inclination, Facebook is definitely worth doing. I'd go that above AdWords.
Okay, yeah.
Purely because the targeting is so much better, and also Facebook aren't as paranoid about where you link to and all that kind of stuff. Because Google will up or down your click cost according to so many different factors, it's crazy. Facebook haven't got that luxury yet. That'll change, give it a couple of years, they'll get more paranoid as well. But at the moment, it's almost as the same as when AdWords first came out. It's pretty much gold rush time.
Indeed.
So you need to create a Facebook page, which is free. Update that regularly, which you can do. There's programs out there so you just go in once a week and say, yeah, I want that today, I want that tomorrow, and so on. There's programs out there that will do that. They're free. and they'll just add a post to your Facebook page. And Facebook is working for business nowadays as well as for business customer. So it's B2B as well as B2C, if those jargon bits make sense. So it used to be that Facebook was only aimed at going for end consumers, a bit like an advert on TV. Nowadays, it's working, from the people I've talked to, equally well business to business. There's a trade show locally that is getting more through Facebook than they are through LinkedIn. And you'd think, or initially you'd think, well, actually LinkedIn's the more businessy network, we'll do that, but it's not. Facebook, because people's Facebook feeds, or whatever they're called, seem to be a mixture of friends and business nowadays. So it's working. So that's that one. The other, if you're in the internet marketing niche, the obvious one, which you and I have both done, are Warrior Special Offers.
Yeah.
That's creative products, and typically, although originally Warrior Special Offers was supposed to be something that was on offer in the outside world and was cheaper on the Warrior Forum, in practice they're pretty much made for the Warrior Forum nowadays. And if they do well, then they get let loose into the outside world. They can be anything. One of the easiest ones to create are about an hour's worth of video. That seems to be about the right length of time. People have got enough attention span to watch that. And it's valuable enough to be charged at around about the $7 to $10, which is pretty much what a Warrior Special Offer costs. It's $40 to put your thread up. I think out of the ones I've launched, two haven't at least broken even. All the rest have. So it's a numbers game. You might hit the occasional dud, but most of the time you'll actually make your money back, and you're building a subscriber list at the time. And if you do an upsell, everyone says they hate them, everyone buys them. Around about 10-15% seem to buy an upsell.
Okay.
That's how you pitch it. So you do the standard product at $7 to $10, something in that region, and then the upsell, $10-$20, something in that, $10-$30, something in those region. You offer your affiliates somewhere between 80% and 100% on the main offer, and 50% to 60% on the secondary offer. Or there's some out there, if they're just using it for list building, will offer 100% across the board. Go into Warrior Plus, that will show you what different people are doing, and it'll give an approximation of what the sales are. Headline as ever, because people are looking through, if they're looking through on the Warrior Forum, and that's not your main market. It sounds weird, you're putting the advert up on the Warrior Forum, but it's not actually where most of your sales will come from. Most of the sales will come from affiliates, your own list if you've got one, or other marketing that you do outside the Warrior Forum. There's a guy called Matthew Olson who's just done a very good WSO on getting his sales pitch is getting at least $300 a month from his advert. And what he's actually doing is using YouTube to send traffic through to his WSO.
Okay.
Which is something that's now on my to-do list, because historically I found with a WSO that it dies the death after about 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
It gets no traffic through the Warrior Forum because it's fallen off the edge of the earth. And
affiliates have all voted it to death in the first few days.
Yeah, and retention span is about the same as a goldfish. It's pretty short. So they've moved on to other things. So what he's doing is picking a few phrases, doing YouTube video, and going back to YouTube. What you can do with YouTube is link to a website. You can put what are called annotations on. You associate your YouTube account with a single domain that you own. You can only do it with one domain, so choose carefully. And then you can put clickable links over your YouTube videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, from what he's saying, works a treat. I've only tried it on one, and I've not got enough. I'm waiting for traffic to come on it. I've got a couple of things going.
Okay. Just one thing on the clickable links, Trevor. If you want to know how to do that, you can just go on YouTube and actually look it up, put how to put clickable link on YouTube videos, and there's a video there.
Yeah, that's all I did because the explanation in the book was just do it, which is, yeah. But there's a number of videos. There's videos on everything.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, that's a very good tip. But it's well worth doing, and all I've done on the one I've tried so far, and I'm going to try a lot more, is put the annotation right the way through the video with a thing that says click here for more information or something equally boring but intriguing at the same time.
Yeah.
So WSOs, and once you've made a few, you build up your list, and you either get hooked on them and keep doing them, which is pretty much what I'm doing. They're a good way of building a list up. They're a good way of getting sales quite fast. As I said, most of the ones I've done typically, and they're not setting the world alight, but typically between 1 and 500 profit, depending on which one. 100, not one single dollar. Plus, it's building up people who trust you, and the idea is, which I'm going to personally move on, I know you're the same really, is work out how to get them from the $7 WSO mentality up to spending nice money.
Hmm.
But that's part of that is just give them information, part of it is sell stuff, and part of it is become the expert. Which is, there's a book that Sean Myers recommended that I've just started reading called Utility, Y-O-U-T-I-L-I-T-Y, by a guy called Jay Baer, B-A-E-R. And J is spelled J-A-Y. So J Baer, Utility, Y-O-U-Utility. And what that's saying is that the way the web is going, customers are researching more and more and more and more. He reckons that even for a chicken sandwich, they're looking at six different points of reference to work out which one is the best tasting and so on. And what that's saying is that the more information you give, customers come at you as make an informed choice. Result of reading this, I'm pushing the content I've got on my own website big time. I've got around about 60, 70 pages at the moment. My aim is to have a couple of hundred by the end of the month. And all that is back up to the WSOs and everything else you do, because people read it and realize that actually they do know what they're talking about. It's one up from the forum posting. So we're kind of back to free apart from time. But it's all part of the mix. It's, you know, from any decision you make on buying, a mate of mine will go to Amazon, he'll read most of the reviews. If there's 100, he might only read the first 10 or 20. He did that on a jug to put in the fridge.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was looking for one that was going to be airtight and that would survive if his child picked it up and turned it upside down to see what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
So he read through the reviews. And we were away in Poland the other weekend, and we were stood outside a restaurant. He said, hang on, I'll just check TripAdvisor. No, that one's 73 out of 74. We're not going there. People are doing, think how you use the web, how you use your mobile phone. That's how your customers are using them. So it's no longer the sales interruption side. It's the, I've sold myself before I buy it.
Yeah.
Difficult to do before Christmas, but not impossible. If you decided that you were going to do, I've got myself, literally I've just printed out spreadsheets with a load of empty boxes on, and I've got a target that's been doing at least 5 articles or videos a day, and all I've got is pinned up on the wall. I just tick each one as I do it, and it's a very quick, simple visual reminder that that's what I need to do. And that fits with, again, making money before Christmas, because if you just think, well, I'm going to do something today, something next month, something the month after, it's not going to happen for this Christmas. And it's probably not going to happen for next Christmas either, because you've still only done a dozen things. It's quantity. Because you don't know ahead of time what people are going to buy from. And the other thing with quantity is it gives people more buying opportunities, more chances to actually get to know you, realize that you do know what you're talking about. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the reasons that, generally speaking, you're supposed to do long sales letters. Because, again, it gives you the chance to convince people that they need to buy. The idea of a long sales letter, the reason behind it, is that it overcomes every single possible objection. If you're selling face-to-face, then you'd overcome the 3 that apply to your particular customer. Because there's maybe 100 different customer types, you're looking at 200 or 300 objections, possibly. and you need to cover all of those.
Yeah.
Slight aside on sales letters, the best ones are ones sort of Gary Halbert, when he was alive, sent out a complete paperback book, which was allegedly what you needed to do, but was in practice about a 100-page sales letter. Whether people would have the patience to read it nowadays, some will. It goes back to the same with the videos and things like that. If they've got the patience to read the first 10 pages, they'll probably read the rest of the book. If not, it'll just sit on their bookshelf. So if you can spring to a physical book, fantastic. But again, we're looking at timescales that you probably can't.
No.
So that's kind of how to get stuff. And then, obviously, the third part of my list I sent you was what to actually sell.
Yeah.
The quick one are affiliate offers, because someone else has created the product for you, so you haven't got to go back and do that. And there are people out there who make all their money selling other people's products. That includes the supermarkets and the chain stores. They'll make their own product, but that's unusual. If you went to a sports store, they're buying from Adidas and Nike and everyone else. They're not making their own brand, because their customers don't buy that. So selling affiliate products, and retail is affiliate products effectively, is fine, that works. The next quick offer is coaching, which I know you do and I'm in the process of doing a bit, because you can create the product before you... Well, sorry, you can create the sales page before you create the product with coaching.
That's right.
It depends on the person being coached. The other one I've done quite a bit of are watch me type products, which are effectively watch as I create a product, watch as I create a page on Squidoo I've done, watch as I launch a product, which hasn't done very well because I've not managed to launch it really well yet. But it's a learning curve, and you can learn from that. You can learn from my mistakes. So even the ones that don't work fantastically well, you can say, well, you know, if it doesn't work, and a guy called Dennis Becker, I joined one of his case studies, he was going to make $20,000 from a Kindle book, and he made about $2,000. But it went through his complete story of how he did that. So that's worthwhile, because you can say, well, they're doing that. And you know, like you watch a program like Dragon's Den or one of the reality TV shows like Hotel Inspector or whatever, or Undercover Boss, and you're shouting at the TV screen?
Oh, yeah.
Because you can see it on someone else's business, but you can't see it on your own. So those kind of watch me kind of products are fantastic for that. Because you're thinking, well, why hasn't he done that then? And then you go off and apply that bit to your business, and you make more than the person that's teaching you. You're laughing, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're looking at it and think, well, that's obvious. But to the person doing it, it isn't. Because outside pair of eyes, which comes back to coaching, it's not obvious.
No.
The other thing, obviously, going on what to sell, is create your own products. And it's slightly longer. But actually, if you spent an hour researching on ClickBank, and a lot of people do at least that, you can actually create a product of your own at that stage. So it isn't necessarily that much longer to create your own product, and that could be an audio, it could be a video, it could be PDFs. If you're geeky, it could be software. It could be absolutely anything. Or you could do a product, going back to the product that doesn't need to be created before you sell it, have a look through the Warriors for Hire section. That's only $20 to advertise in there. But if you've got a skill set, if you can make videos or write articles or write e-books, $20, you get your advert up there and you'll get business from that. So again, doesn't need to be created ahead of time. And okay. With those, a friend of a friend was doing a complete done-for-you e-book package. I think it worked out about $2,000 because they'd write the ebook for you, they'd do the cover, they'd do the sales page, they'd do the affiliate tools, the whole shooting match, and there was something, I think it was $2,000, and they had to close it because they were making too many sales. They hadn't got enough hours in the day.
Wow.
And the initial reaction would be $2,000, that's, well, either cheap or expensive, depending on what you think. And So there's lots and lots of different ways. There's loads of people on Warriors for Hire selling videos, including ones you can pick up on Fiverr, but they're charging $50. There's loads selling articles. There's less selling. Generally speaking, the low-hanging fruit's the most competitive on that. So things like article creation is fairly competitive, but if you're suddenly writing a report, a 10-page report for someone, less competitive. If you're writing a 100-page ebook, a lot less competitive.
Yeah.
So as long as you're not too scared to do that, that's another product you can do. And again, you don't have to have it. You haven't got to have it created ahead of time. And if you haven't got any samples or any references, you're up front and admit that you do half price offer for the first three people applying. And then suddenly you've got testimonials and you've got people saying, yeah, they're good. So lots and lots of different products you can sell. And again, it's just take a step back and work out what makes sense for you, what your skill set is. Easiest way on doing that is to sit down with a piece of paper, which is less distracting than a computer screen, and literally do what's known as a brain dump, which is write. Don't edit, just write. For set yourself a timer, put it on your phone or wherever else, you just have an alarm go off, and 15 minutes later stop writing. Then the following day come back to it, and what you'll find is that three or four things will just leap out of the page at you. You think, actually I could do that. It's weird, because what's happening is your subconscious mind is coming up to the conscious level, but without telling you. So if you're stuck on ideas, fantastic way, just literally tell yourself, right, I've got 15 minutes, I'm going to do nothing else but write things I could possibly do. I'm not going to edit them. Could you fly to the moon? Yeah, given a rocket and a few other things. So that could go on a list. You rule it out tomorrow. Could you do a video? Yeah, would you be scared to do a video? Maybe. And you just write all of those down. You don't do the questioning. You just literally write the different ideas, and it doesn't matter. And if you duplicate them, it doesn't matter, because you're going to go back and edit it tomorrow, because it's a different part of your brain does that.
Okay.
And then the trick is actually do it, because that's it's the Nike slogan, but it's the major part of the equation. You can have all the ideas in the world. I've got both myself and a friend have got a to-do list a mile and a half long at least.
Oh, yeah.
With all sorts of ideas that we could do, but in practice probably never will. And any one of those could make a small fortune, and probably would.
Yeah.
But until we actually do it, nothing happens.
No.
So once you come up with an idea, be single-minded for at least a month. That will give it enough time to work out whether what you thought was going to work is really going to work.
Okay.
That makes sense.
It does. I mean, that's so important, the persistence. You know, this is where people really do fall down and fail, sadly, is they don't treat it like a business, and they don't treat it like, you know, the seriousness that it deserves. I think probably part of the reason for that is people have said, oh, you know, it's easy to make money online, and, you know, often people want a quick fix, and they've gone for it and believed it, and that's where it goes wrong. You know, it's very sad.
Okay, so you got anything to chip in? Any ideas that I haven't covered that you think would be useful for people?
I don't think so, Trevor. No, I don't want to spoil.
Not storm your thunder, am I?
Not at all. No. But I don't want to spoil your thunder and, you know, perhaps cut across it. So, no, I think that's excellent. Thank you very, very much indeed.
That's all right.
So,
I'm open the call up for any questions, or do we move on?
Yeah, great idea. Yeah, let's just do that for a few minutes. Yeah, let's
okay.
just do that now. I mean, there's still quite a few people on here, so let's just unmute. Okay, and then... Right, folks, anybody on the call, welcome to you all. And anybody got any questions they'd like to ask Trevor while he's here? There's
quite a few people, but at the moment it's quite silent. Has everything that he said been understandable? You know, don't be frightened to say, because we've got the problem of you know, working over the internet, and sometimes Skype drops out and maybe a word is lost here and there, and there can be lots of reasons why things weren't quite clear. So do ask away, please.
Hello, Trevor.
Hello.
Trevor? Hi. Yeah. Listen, I noticed that you have done quite a bit of writing on like eZine articles. I think you have about 180 or 188 odd articles there. And I know that I bought one of your WSOs a couple of months ago that was about how to write a Squidoo lens in, I guess it was an hour or something like that. Anyway, I thought that was a really good WSO. I mean, that WSO made me a fan of yours. I'm wondering, is it better, do you think, to write articles for Squidoo as opposed to eZine articles? Do you think that more people will see it on Squidoo as opposed to eZine articles? Or, I mean, you know, what are your feelings about the two of them?
They're two very different beasts. Squidoo keeps changing the rules, which has made me less of a fan than I was, because they seem... What happens with eZine articles is that if they change the rules, what's known as grandfather in the previous article. So you'll find ones on there that are 250 words long, because that was their cutoff of a few years ago. Squidoo, on the other hand, will say, no, we've changed the rules, yours doesn't fit anymore, we don't like your face, we're going to close your lens. So not that side of me has made me less of a fan of that. Will they both rank? Yeah, and if one ranks, Do another one. In other words, do a Squidoo lens and an eZine article then, article, or more than one eZine articles article. There's nothing that says you have to have a single article on a topic. I've done, if you go through mine, I'd probably repeat myself quite regularly because I come at it at a slightly different angle.
Also, there's quite a difference in eZine articles and Squidoo, and Squidoo's Web 2.0 property. So in other words, it's like you're setting up, it's a blogging platform really, isn't it? So it's like a kind of blog you're setting up, whereas eZine articles is an article directory. So they're quite different beasts, aren't they?
Yeah, but you can point an eZine article to a Squidoo lens. They're quite happy to do that as well.
Sure, sure.
And you can put your YouTube videos on a Squidoo lens.
That's what I mean. You couldn't do that on eZine article. I mean, you know, they're complementary, aren't they? They're two different platforms working
together. Yeah, they do work quite well together.
Yeah.
If I was given my current time, I'm not giving Squidoo very much time because they keep changing the rules. Hub pages are even worse. They don't even approve my posts. They think they're too promotional. So... And I think Squidoo is getting to that stage, but I don't like the retro bit where they say, well, we liked your lens, we made a lot of money out of it jointly together, but now actually we don't like it. It's a bit too much Google for my liking.
I see.
Does that answer the question a bit?
Right, yes, yeah, thank you, I appreciate it. One other thing, are there any other article directories besides eZine articles that you would suggest focusing on, or do you think that eZine articles seems to have enough traffic, seems to cover everything, that it's probably not even worth bothering with the other ones?
It's the one that, if I put an article up, actually sends me traffic. The other ones I use don't. But if you wanted a couple of others, there's one called Articles Base. That's good for backlinks because they encourage scraper sites to scrape their articles. And therefore you'll end up with links from all sorts of websites. But the trick with Articles Base, they'll allow you to put a link within the article. Do that because a lot of the scraper programs get rid of the links out of the resource box. And there's another one that I've used again occasionally called Super Articles, which is spelled S-O-O-P-E-R Articles. Both them and Articles Base and tend to expect the article to be unique to them nowadays as well. That wasn't the case.
I think it's better to have a unique article if you can.
make it as unique as possible, you know.
Lion's share I tend to put on these in articles. If I remember to use one of the others, I will occasionally, but not very often.
What about using YouTube?
You can put an article in below your YouTube video.
Well, I was meaning more take the article rather than because obviously you've got to really rewrite an article to put it on another different article directory, but you can take the teaching from an article and then put it into a video, which will probably take less time, and upload that to YouTube, and that should get, you know, more traffic.
Yeah, or use your YouTube video to point your article, or vice versa. They can actually go around in circles. It's a bit weird, but you can do that. But yeah, YouTube is the other place to put articles because the description gets indexed. Google are an awful lot better at indexing words than they are pictures or videos. So YouTube, generally speaking, and again, there's exceptions to the rule as always, but generally speaking, the more words you put below the article, the video, the better it will get indexed and the better it will come up in the search.
I see.
As ever, no straight answer, sorry. Because the internet is made up of so many different factors, it's crazy.
Right.
And you can do almost exactly the same thing for two different things and get two different results because something somewhere in the technical details was slightly different. And you either scratch your head or you think, well, okay, next. And the better option is to think, oh, yeah, next, try it. It's a numbers game, some of it. It really is. If you put one up, it might work, it might not. If you put 100 up, 10 might work. Another good book I'm just reading is from Perry Marshall about the 80-20 rule, but that's a completely different aside.
Has anybody else got any more questions? Okay, well, thank you. No, that's right. Thank you very much for your questions. What we wanted to do now is just say something as like a kind of reward for people coming here and, you know,